Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys, this is Good Days, and on Dr. Renee Sunday, I'm having an awesome, awesome time. You know me. I'm always bubbling. You know, I really enjoy life. You know, you will have ups and downs. They will form, but they will not take away your passion. It will not take away your purpose in life. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. You know, as grandmama say, down inside. You know, the mission and the purpose of Good Deeds is we actually showcase other people, their vision, their dreams, their passion, of course, their purpose in life, the reason that they are here on earth right now. And you have the same. You do have a story. You do have a calling, and you do have a purpose of being here. You know, we just have some awesome, awesome people that have come Good Deeds to share their message to the world. We actually have an awesome young lady. You know, I told her in the green room that she has, a gift. That's what I call it. You know, I know people say talent, but the gift of being able to write in many genres. And what I mean about that, she can write about, we'll find out about a doggy. You know, I call my animals doggies, you know, because I'm a dog person. And then she can write about marriage. She can write about all kinds of things. She can write about devotionals. And then she can even go to a YouTube where we'll get that information out. She can actually, she'll tell you how to be motivated and inspired, of course, that you can be in your purpose as well. I just love her, love her, love her. And you know, I'm learning a lot just by listening to what she has to say. But we don't want to delay the awesome, awesome young lady. She's an author. She can tell you what to do and not do. I mean, we need to listen, because when people say things, we can be educated, motivated, inspired. Guess what? To make a wise decision. And we don't want to delay anything. We want to welcome, welcome, welcome Author Joyce Fields to Good Deeds. Are you there?
I am here, Dr. Renee. And I just love your enthusiasm. Good to be with you.
Thank you so much to be in here. But, you know, you have so much to share. We want to dive right in real quickly here. To just tell us a little bit more about yourself and the awesome, wonderful things that's going on in your life.
Well, it's just a pleasure to be here. So I really appreciate the opportunity. And like you said, I have written 9 books. And I'm the oldest of 7. And my first book I wrote because I'm the oldest of 7. We had no sibling rivalry in our family. I was born in 1944, and the book goes from 1944 to 1977. And it's entitled Line of Serenity. I wrote it because we have such a good time together, all of my siblings and I. Now, my oldest brother just passed last year, but we still talk about him just like he's here. We always, in our conversations with what he says, he always says, I'll talk to you next trip of the train. And so that's the way we end our conversations when we talk to each other on the phone. So I'm in California, and most of my family is in Michigan. But I go back every year to visit with them, because being the oldest, I take that very seriously. And so when we all get together, we just have such a good time. And so I decided to write this book in 1997. And my husband and I have been together since we were 13 years old. And he'll be 72 this year, and I'll be 71 next month. So he really knows my whole family extremely well, and he adored my parents. So I had the manuscript finished in 1997, and I wanted to find a good title for it. So he and I were talking, and he just said, out of the blue, which really wasn't out of the blue, it was God-given, I'm sure, all of y'all have this line of serenity running through you. So that was, the light bulb came on, and that was what I called the book. And he describes what he sees as this line of serenity in each one of us, starting with my parents. And then he goes on to talk about what he sees as this line of serenity in each one of us. And then I go on to tell the story about the way that we were raised. And that book includes photographs of our ancestors because I wanted to show the younger generation when their lives look like, and they may see, oh, she looks just like great 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 aunt Mary or whatever, you know. And so and then it also has recipes, because food is a very important part of our lives. You know, we have what we call feasts whenever we all get together. So, and I'm the dessert maker in the family, so I make all the desserts and everything. So that's the first book that I wrote in 1997, and it's 167 pages. Then I went on in 2003, and I wrote Mother's Dozen. And this one, I was inspired to write it because I was dismayed by watching young mothers be controlled by their toddlers. And I know you've seen it. We all have seen it when we go out and about, you know, grocery stores, the mall, or whatever. And these mothers are being controlled by their little bitty toddlers, you know. So they're just spoiling these kids. And so I sent the manuscript off, and people were saying the manuscript people were, or the publishers were saying, they couldn't publish it because it wasn't written by a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a minister or whatever. So I did the next best thing, and I got a minister to write a foreword for the book. I sent the manuscript off, emailed it to a minister that I'm familiar with, and I was absolutely floored when he responded, and he sent back the most amazing foreword. He called it A Handbook of Excellence in Raising Children for the World to Come. So that one, it's Mother's Dozen, and it's 48 pages. God has blessed me with the talent of being succinct. I can say a lot in few words. So, and that one I also had translated into Spanish. So that one is Madre Docina, and I don't speak Spanish, so the rest of the title, it's Mother's Dozen, An Easy Recipe for Raising Great Kids. And as mothers, we really do ourselves a favor by investing time in the children that we're raising, because when you invest that time in when they're very, very young, you don't really have to spend a lot of time, because the children will have developed the habits and the patterns for living a good life. And so that's why I wrote that one. And then the next one I wrote was in 2008. And this one is entitled, The Best Way to Keep a Man is to Let Him Go, Among Other Things. When I was 15 years old, he was my boyfriend, but his mother, his late mother, she told me that at 15. And I didn't write the book until I was in my 60s. So that stayed with me all these years, you know, all those years stayed with me. And so she said, the best way to keep a man is to let him go. And then once I got married to her son, I found that there were other things. So I added Among Other Things to the title. And we've been together since we were 13 years old. I think I said that. But we've been married for 47 years. And my two oldest granddaughters, who are now 32 and 30, they would say to me, Grandma, you and Granddad act like you're still in love. How do you do that? I said, we are still in love. And so then that's when I decided to write the book, because based on my observations and experiences, I say that 80% of the success of a relationship rests on the shoulders of the woman. And the book explains why I say that. And it includes recipes, because the last chapter is the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And that is still true today, as true as it was then, years and years ago. Women have always said that. And so these young girls nowadays almost seem to take pride in the fact that they don't cook, don't want to cook, don't want to learn how to cook. And so I put 21 of my own recipes, and they're very easy to follow. You know, so you sit a man down to a good meal, and you pretty much have about halfway won over his heart, you know. So you don't be going to McDonald's and out to sit down, uh-huh. take time to cook.
Well, let me ask you a question about that.
Yeah.
When you do mentor young women, you know, in your family and just when you're out speaking and everything, I mean, you know, like you said, we have unfortunate stock cooking and da da. So do we need to, you know, we're going to have to get the book now. People, you got to get the book to get the info. It's powerful, I'm telling you, because I know. But we really need to get back to the way we were raised, because now we have so much. But, you know, I can tell from my mom, I can use her uh-huh. example. Maybe that's better. My mom yeah. didn't have to work back then, so it's much easier for her to just do everything in the house. But when we mm-hmm. actually came, you know, start doing our own jobs and our own careers, you know, it's be honest, it's really hard to do both. So, you know, what we should we do as women?
Well, you know, I was working full time, going to school full time, and then I still was able to do all of that. You know, it really is an attitude kind of a thing. You know, if you feel mm-hmm. like you can mm-hmm. do it, and you don't wear yourself out, because now, see, my husband took over a lot of the stuff as far as the house. He would do the washing and help me with everything else, because I would be doing my homework. And another thing that I used to do is on Sundays, I would cook a huge amount of food, you know, and freeze it and then bring it
mm-hmm,
out
mm-hmm.
during the week, you know. So you find ways to get it done. And plus there are recipes in my book that don't take long. My very favorite one is called, and I made this up, it's called skillet chicken and rice. And everybody loves chicken, just about everybody. And it's all mm-hmm. it is rice, chicken broth, and chicken and onions. That's it. So you can just put it in the skillet, cook a pot of rice, and you know, so it's when I do prepare this, even I still prepare it to this day, and I salivate while I'm cooking it. I just love that
meal. That's so funny. I'm laughing so because my mom can make a meal, and you as well. With it, I mean, really, within 10 minutes, it's almost really on the table.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad you pointed that out about the attitude. If you have the right, and we used to joke with my mom, and she's laughing now, because we say, if mama want to do, I think it's banana pudding, we used to say, if she don't want to do that banana pudding, it's not going to work, it's not going to turn out. But you're right, if we have the right attitude with anything
yes.
you do, it'll work out. Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. of course.
Wow.
You know, so you don't program yourself for failure. You know, you program yourself for success. So I think that's very important. Then in 2009, the very next year, I wrote The Vision, telling kids that they can make the world a better place. And this book came about as a result of my sister and I having a conversation about how poorly kids were doing in school, especially African-American kids, you know. And so we said that somebody should write a book or a play about telling them what the past was, you know. So what the book is, it started out as a play, and then I was going to get it into the public school system, but all of my contacts fizzled, so I couldn't do it. And then, so I turned it into a book instead of a play. And it's all about these two slave children, and one of the slave children has a sister who has visions, and she's able to see well, well, well into the future. And she saw the vision of the kids not doing well in school, especially African-American kids, not doing well in school, and she said to herself, Lord have mercy, what in the world are they doing? Don't they know what we have to go through? We get beaten and killed because we want to learn how to read and write. and figure. That's the way she put it, like math, you know, so to say figure. And it's written in a black dialect, like a slave dialect, and it's not hard to follow because I did it like phonetically. And and so they're talking in the barn about how the situation is, and it ends on a happy note because also in the vision she foresees that these kids are going to start taking education seriously and then get down to business, and then they're going to take it to the teachers, and then the teachers aren't going to have very much to do because the kids are going to take it over. And this book includes a personal contract and a school contract. So if the kids aren't doing well at home or at school, it gives them a tool to save face and to make their decision as to when they're going to change their behavior and then buckle down. And they have to sign the contract and get their teacher for the school contract to sign it and the parents for the home contract to sign it and their classmates, two classmates sign it and two siblings sign it. If they don't have siblings, then they can go to their cousins or whatever, even if they have just the guardian and not the mother and father. So, but they can make up their mind that they can do much better in school and at home. And I point out to kids that everything that they see, when they look around and with their eyes and see whatever it is, something was an idea in somebody's head. And they are just as smart as everybody else who invented the chair or the couch or the television or the staircase or whatever. So I make them aware of their genius in this book.
I love it because,
you like that? I always say that
if hope, you know, you have to have hope. If you have that hope and that that desire and getting back to the attitude like you're saying, I mean, you can move mountains. If you believe
in yourself, and we know that's the truth.
Wow.
Yes.
And we really need to start that as a child, because I remember my mom and dad implanting that in me as a child, because I think back on that, especially as I get older, and I think back on the things, I can vividly still hear them saying it. And that's when I have a bump in the road, when I have an obstacle or a struggle in something, that comes right back to my remembrance. And then I'm okay. I smile on my face and I get going.
That's all it takes is the attitude. And we have to instill those types of attitudes in our children. And the vision is only 48 pages. And it includes, like I said, it also includes a progress tracker. So that it's a 5-week, because I read somewhere that it takes 5 weeks to change your attitude and behavior. And so they've got a 5-week tracker where their teacher or their parent can grade them on how well they're doing. And they can't get mad, you know, when somebody reminds them of you're getting off track now, you know, so get back on track. And that was 48 pages.
You're right, I'm glad that needs to be in every school. That needs to be in every school ever. That even work on the college and professional level.
Because
we need accountability.
It's funny that you say that, because a former assistant prosecuting attorney for the juvenile division in Wayne County court system in Michigan, she said that it should be in every classroom and courtroom in the United States, this book. It should be mandatory. That's what she said in the foreword. And I've got two forewords in that book. The assistant, former assistant prosecuting attorney, and also my former college English professor. She wrote a forward as well for that. So they really praised that book. Yeah.
You're just amazing.
Thank you. Then, and again, in 2009, this is the only year that I wrote two books in. In 2009, I wrote The Vision, and then I wrote Jet Black and Her Seven Friends. again, my sister and I collaborated, and you know, we were just talking about, still talking about motivating children, you know. And so Jet Black is all about this little African-American girl who goes to sleep one night and, well, first of all, she's being bullied because she's very tall for her age, and she's in the fifth grade. And she goes to sleep one night, and she's visited by a fairy godmother, takes her on a journey to meet these six other people. That's why it's called Jet Black and Her Seven Friends. And these other people tell her that they were teased for one reason or another. One of them is a judge now, and she was overweight as a child, and she was teased, and they used to call her Fatty Patty. Now they call her Your Honor. And so then another one that was teased because he stuttered, and another, this was and this is multi-ethnic. I've got a American Indian or Native American, a Hispanic, a lady in a wheelchair who was a college professor now, and she was teased because no one thought that she could ever be able to do anything because she was in a wheelchair. And so all these different reasons why, you know, these people were teased, and they got beyond being teased and became successful in life, you know. So then Jet Black goes back to her bedroom. I won't tell you the end of the story, though, so that it's
yes, right.
it's for 9 to 12 year olds. Yeah. So.
Okay, but that sounds just very powerful, because we need to realize that whatever comes in your life, that you can make it. But it's hard to translate that to kids, because you know, they, and sometimes adults, we don't understand it as well. So that mm-hmm. that is very powerful. That and life lessons seems like you really have taught in both of those last two, the kids' books. That's amazing.
Yes.
Well, hold on just a second, Miss Joy.
Okay.
We actually, it's time to take a quick commercial break.
All right.
You guys, you know, we have to let our advertising, our sponsor have to do
mm-hmm.
their thing. But we're going to come back and continue the awesome conversation. And we actually have some more books to go over. And this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday.
Okay, ladies, it's time to get this makeup thing right once and for all. So let's bring the professional to you. Call Atlanta's number one mobile makeup artist, Melinda Cannon Jones. Melinda will hook you up with your best look ever. Weddings, galas, special events, or just a night out on the town. Count on quality products, on-time service, and a look that will light up the room. Melinda Cannon Jones, your new mobile makeup artist. Call 470-564-9999. That's 470-564-9999. Follow E. Cannon Jones on Instagram and Facebook.
Introducing All Nations TV, the best in gospel music, teaching, preaching, and community programming. All Nations TV is a new innovative Christian-based broadcasting company featuring Preachville, Press Play Gospel, Anointed Hands, and more. Tune in today to be inspired by visiting allnationstv.com. That's allnationstv.com.
You guys, we're back. You know, this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. I love our advertising, our sponsors. Now, you can have that opportunity as well. Go to our website, which is www.reneesunday.com. All the information there, even our teleconferences. We have at least one or two every month, and that website is www.thrivein365.com. Now, other one that we have is spiritual based, which is www.asweRise. That's RISE.com. And we're enjoying the conversation here. God has really blessed her with the awesome things that life lessons that we're learning from all of her books. And we want to continue the conversation with the rest of the books that she have. And then she's going to give us the final thoughts for the day, and she's going to follow with her contact information. Ms. Joyce, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm still here. I left off with Jet Black, which I wrote in 2009, and it's 16 pages. And the next one that I wrote was in 2011, and it's called Dear Bully, a collection of poems about bullying. It's 25 poems. And I wrote this book because I was really, really, I was devastated by kids committing suicide because of bullying. And they actually have coined a word for it. It's called bullycide. Have you heard that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, and this book was, you know, all of my books I feel were God-given. You know, it's like I totally feel like a vessel being used by God. And Dear Bully, I wrote these 25 poems in 6 hours. So
wow.
That to me was amazing, you know. So it just flowed. And so I've used that book in schools. I've gone to schools to talk about it and to read from the book. And also I have on my website is a video of myself, you know, me reading the poems. And then in 2013, I wrote My Simple Quotes to Live By. My coach told me about getting on social media, and so I was really intimidated. And this one is 90 pages, but it's my own quotes. I coined my first quote when I was 15 years old, and that was, never lose your hope and faith. And I have lived by that all my life. Then I'm hurrying up now because the time is running out, but in 2014 I wrote A Breast Cancer Journey to Greater Joy, Taking the Fear and Mystery Out of a Breast Cancer Diagnosis. And I wrote this book because I wanted, I'm a breast cancer survivor. In 2011 I had my last radiation treatment. I didn't have chemo. I had my last radiation treatment on 11/11/11 at 11 a.m.
Wow. Amen.
Yeah, so,
amen.
Uh-huh, yep. And my four doctors each wrote a foreword for the book because they were so impressed with how I was able to help other people. So whenever another woman is diagnosed with, I had stage 2 invasive ductal carcinoma, and that's the most common kind. So I wrote it so that, you know, it would not be so fearful and take out the mystery for people. So that was all. Those are all my 9 books.
Wow. Hey, you know, this would come in my spirit. More to come. You just really starting in your books. You're going to be doing books, plays, production. It's only the beginning.
Wow. That's wonderful to hear.
Because, you know, and that's why I love being a hanging around my parents, because, you know, they actually lived through the civil rights, being, you know, specifically in Birmingham, Alabama. And I just like to just be there, just to hear. And I'm so, I really applaud you of putting these life lessons in print, because we need them. We need them so we can build up our kids. And we need to know, because some people will say they don't know anything about life lessons. But you have put it in the book at Buster's, so I really appreciate that. But Miss Joyce, I know, like we said, the time goes by so fast. I want you to tell us some, you know, last-minute words, and then please follow up with your contact information. We're going to have to get you back on here so we can continue this conversation.
All you got to do is let me know. That's all you've got to do, because I love the opportunity to tell people. My husband and I were just talking this morning about we have to get exposure. You know, we have to tell people that these books are out there. And, you know, it costs a lot of money to advertise. So and we're on a fixed income. So, but I just, you know, I just want people to know that everything is temporary, including life. All your problems, worries, and concerns are just temporary. Don't dwell in them. Look at them and face them and just decide on what you're going to do about it.
Amen. That's right. Amen. That's it. Mm-hmm. And tell us how we can contact you and support you in the things that you're doing.
My website is goodshortbooks.com. That's goodshortbooks.com. And on the website is a contact page, but my email is goodshortbooks@yahoo.com. And my mission statement is...
She make it easy for you.
Yes. I have a mission statement too, Dr. Renee, and it says, I write books that inspire people on their journey to make the world a better place.
Wow. And I agree, you do that very well. Wow.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. We just thank you, thank you, thank you for taking time out your busy schedule to be here with us at Good Deeds.
I really appreciate it, and I thank you very much and wish you the best.
Well, thank you so much. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You guys, you know what? We always bring you information that you can be educated, motivated, and inspired, that you can make a wise decision. We just really have had an awesome time with Miss Joyce Steele. She's powerful. We have to get her back again. You know how to contact us. It's www.reneesunday.com. All of our information is there. And you know, we love you, love you, love you. And you know, this is Good Deeds. And I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. See you next time. Bye-bye.